Well, good morning. I think most of you know out there that we had another grandchild early this morning. I'm not supposed to reveal their gender, I guess. I'm surprised that they even told me, because you're not going to be surprised about this, but I have kind of a big mouth, so it's hard for me to not say anything, but yeah, we had another one at 3 o'clock this morning, or it was about 2, 3 this morning. And so anyway, it was kind of a long night, early morning, and then we went home and laid down for a little bit, and we're here, and I realize I'm getting too old for all of this, really. Well, it is Father's Day, and I don't want to say that fathers aren't important, but you guys get the Sunday off as far as me preaching to you. I am going to go on with our sermon series on the five love languages to try to keep that in my time frame here. And so we have been talking about the five love languages, and we're learning each of these five. And as we started out, I said it's the analogy of two people living together that speak a completely different language. And if they're under one roof and you're trying to tell the other person, I love you, and they don't speak that love language, then they don't understand what you're trying to say to them. Because what we're trying to accomplish, as I've said over and over again over these several weeks, is that we are trying to fill somebody's love tank. That if you're doing these five languages, then hopefully that you're filling up somebody's love tank. Because as I've said over and over the last several weeks, if you don't fill somebody's love tank, then it's like not filling up somebody's fuel tank in their vehicle. And they're going to get to the point where they're going to feel depleted, ran down, and they're going to be stalled, and they feel like they are just going to give up spiritually, emotionally, just physically at times, because they don't feel like their love tank is being filled up. And so these are five love languages that are from the book from Gary Chapman on the five love languages that he put out years ago. And as I've said over and over again, I believe that these are biblical principles that he's taken. And I do believe that they are true in a marriage relationship or any context of a relationship to share with somebody that I love you. So we looked at words of affirmation a few weeks ago. That was the first one, and that is to cheer somebody on, to cheer them up with some type of words, and some people just, they've got to hear those. The second one we looked at was quality time, and that is focusing your attention, your undivided attention, on somebody, and so by telling them I love you is I'm putting time into you. The one that we looked at last week was receiving gifts. And for some people, if they receive a gift, if they are given something and they can hold it in their hand, then they feel like they are loved. And so this week, we're going to go on to the fourth one, which is acts of service. And we're going to look at Galatians 5:13. But how many of you here, that is your love language, acts of service? Do we have any acts of service people here? Okay. That is what mine is, acts of service. And so I will share here in just a moment that this love language can be very difficult. Of the five, I would say this is probably the most difficult. But as we start out here, we have Paul speaking to a group of Christians in Galatians 5:13, and he says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free." He says, "But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." So Paul's speaking to this group of Christians here, and he's telling them, he says, you guys need to do this. You need to serve one another. These were Jews who had been living underneath the law, and from a very young age, they had been taught the law that you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. And so they go to the synagogue, which was like their church, and they get preached to, love your neighbor as yourself. You're supposed to love other people. And he says to them now, it is true, you're not underneath the law anymore. Since Christ came, he died on the cross for you, and now you're underneath of grace. That penalty has been paid. And so you're not underneath the law anymore, but that doesn't mean you completely throw it out. And you say, you know what, I'm not underneath the law, so I don't have to love my neighbor as myself, because why? I'm not underneath the law. He says, That's not what this is about. He says, even though that you're not underneath the law, so to speak, he says, this is what you're called to do as a Christian. He said, even almost more so now, you're called to do things for other people. And that shows them that you love them by serving them. And so as we go into this love language today, this isn't just about somebody's love language that could be my child or my spouse and whether or not I'm going to help them in this area or not. This is for everybody. This is what we are called to do. We are called to be Christians that perform acts of service for other people. So what are acts of service? These are just doing the things that you would normally do. You're just doing this for somebody else. And they can be special planned actions that you're showing that you are loving somebody else. So you have something maybe that you're planning to do, and so you say to that person, I'm going to help you out with this project. I'm going to do this. And by doing that, that person understands that you're, you know, saying, I love you. The other thing it could be is just ordinary things that you do every day for them. It's just the mundane things of every day, that you're going to take out the garbage, that you're going to do the dishes, that you're going to do the vacuuming, whatever that is, that you do every day to show them that you love them. It's simple actions which within a family chores around the house, it can be done without having to be asked to do it. So you're doing this thing, whatever it is, because it's just what you're called to do. And for that person, this is their love language. They're looking at that and saying, they love me. And the thing is, with these acts, they require thought, planning, time, effort, energy, and positive attitude. I found this picture up here of you got Tarzan and he's vacuuming. Even the king of jungle has to, you know, humble himself sometimes and do some things like vacuuming. And for those that this is their love language, it's saying actions speak louder than words. They believe this to be true. It's interesting that these little quotes that are out there that float around, and this one, actions speak louder than words, that was probably said or written by somebody who what? That is their love language. And they show their love to people by ministering to them through the sweat of their brow and the willingness of their heart to assist others. That is who these people are, which is their act of service. But let me go into this. This is where I believe that this language can be the most difficult, because there are some problems with it. Because it's hard to recognize when you give and you receive this love language. What do I mean by that? Because as I said, these can just be daily household chores. And they can seem to the person with this language that you are sometimes trying to, and I know this from personal experience with Stacy and I, that you're trying to, I will say, start a problem by showing this person this love language. Because people will say, okay, this is my spouse's love language, and so I'm going to perform this act of service. And so my love language is acts of service. So what do I try to do? I try to do acts of service to show my wife that I love her. But what is the problem? Her love language is not acts of service. But in my mind, because that's the way that I receive love, I think by doing acts of service to her and to my kids and everybody around me, I'm showing them that I love them. But the problem with that is that when I do acts of service with my wife, she takes it the wrong way. Because it seems like that when I do these acts of service, and one of the things that has been over the years is vacuuming. I will vacuum. And so I've always vacuumed. And, you know, before we were married, that was just kind of like something I've always done. And I still do it today. Now we don't have any carpet right now, hardly, so it's not really an issue. But the other one is laundry. I've always done laundry. Ever since I was a kid, I've done my own laundry. My grandmother wanted us to be young men that did our own laundry, because my grandfather, I don't think he ever turned on a washing machine probably his whole entire life. So she had us do our laundry, and that's just something that I've always done. And so I still today continue to do laundry. And I think by doing this stuff, whatever this is, that I'm showing that I love my wife. But the problem with this is performing acts of service at times when you don't want them to do it. Somebody is doing something and they're trying to show you that they love you and you don't want them to do it at that time. And doing things that possibly they enjoy doing and they feel responsible for doing. So you're trying to show this person, I love you, and you do this, and they say, I don't want you to be washing clothes at 2 o'clock in the morning, okay? Or that you're out there and you're weeding their garden and you're trying to show them, ta-da, acts of service, I love you. And they say, I just enjoy just going out there and being by myself and just weeding my own garden. And so this is where it starts to be a problem. Or the other part of this that you'll experience is that somebody will do this acts of service for you and it's not the way that you want them to do it. Because you are very particular, and people that have the love language of acts of service usually are, and then somebody comes along and they do something for you and they're trying to show you, I love you, and then you look at it and you go, oh, that's not what I had planned. That's not the way that I was going to do it. And you can see where this gets very difficult, because Stacy and I have counseled with couples in the past that this is somebody's love language. And I can say it from our, like I said, our own personal experience. And then they're trying to show somebody, you know, this is how I'm trying to show you I love you. And the other person is saying, you're driving me crazy doing this stuff. Or it can be that they understand that this is their spouse's love language. They do things and then their spouse says, yes, it's my love language, but the way that you're doing these things and how you're doing them, it is just driving me crazy. And so that person goes, I can't win for nothing. I know that's your love language, and this is how I should be serving you, but when I do it, you're not happy. Another difficulty is unknowingly communicating with other people through two different dialects. And as I've said, that each one of these love languages have their own dialects in them, and it's important to understand acts of service that your mate appreciates the most. So, as I said, you will do this acts of service, and this person will think, okay, my spouse's love language, acts of service. So, I'm going to vacuum the carpet. And then you do that, and they just will say, you live here too. You should be vacuuming the carpet. Which sometimes their dialect receiving this love language is, let's say, washing their car. If you vacuum out and wash their car, they feel like that, okay, now I understand that they're trying to say, I love you. I'm doing something for you. So this is where it gets really tough with this love language. Because first of all, as I said, you're doing things that sometimes people feel like that I feel like I should be doing. I don't want you to be doing. And then you do things and they don't even see it. And so it's very difficult, I would say, because I'm not on this side of the, you know, of the equation with the love language, but it's very difficult to be married to somebody who this is their love language and you're trying to show them that and they don't respond to it. Now, I only can think of one couple, I was trying to think this week, that I know of, that there's two people that both have this love language of acts of service. And when you have two people that have this love language of acts of service, it becomes very difficult then. Because why? Because they both are trying to do things for the other person. They're both trying to say, I love you. And so I'm trying to say, I love you by vacuuming. Well, that's my job. And that's how I'm trying to show you that I'm trying to say. And so that's where this gets very confusing with this love language when you have two people that are trying to do that. So he may feel unloved despite the fact that his wife did many other chores throughout the day, but when he looks at it, he's saying, she didn't do this. And you may say, well, that sounds pretty selfish. It's the way that we are. It's just the way that we are wired as people. It's not necessarily being selfish. It's just when somebody does this, then I realize that they're saying, I love you. So the other problem that goes along with this is I would call gender stereotypes associated with different acts, because it requires both spouses to humble themselves into doing some of the chores and services that aren't usually done or expected by that gender. And I don't hear this so much anymore because there's kind of an older generation that's moving out of this, but I have had older individuals, and I will pick on men, even though it's Father's Day, that will say this. They'll say, well, okay, so you're telling me that her love language is acts of service. And then you can ask her, well, what would you like me to do? And she said, well, it would be nice if you would just do the dishes sometimes. Or that you would do this as far as vacuuming or whatever it is. And there will be a guy that will say, that's not my job. That's woman's work. And so when a woman hears that, then she's hearing, you don't love me because you're not willing to do this. Because doing these acts of service isn't always doing what I want to do. Well, I get up every day at 4 o'clock in the morning. I go to work all day. And so isn't that acts of service enough because I bring home a paycheck? It isn't, unfortunately, because it's something that you're choosing to do. But when I do it for her, then it's not even right. It may not be, but you're still choosing to do it. Stacy and I have this conflict, and we've had it for 30-something years, of loading the dishwasher. Because for 30-something years, I have not been able to load the dishwasher correctly. Because I do it my way. Because we have this big thing that when it comes to the forks and knives and spoons and stuff, I put the business end down. And there's some crazy people out there. One of them's running my PowerPoint, which I love. So, but they put them up. And so she will go and I will do the dishwasher. And I'm like trying to tell her, ta-da, I love you. And she goes over there. And I always know what's going to happen. Dishwasher inspection. Dun, 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 dun. And then she does everything all over again. And she moves things around and puts it over here and takes this back out and washes it and puts it back. I don't know why that we're washing everything to put it in the dishwasher, but that's the way it works. So sanitize it, everything, and we put it in the dishwasher. And so I'm trying to say in that, ta-da, I love you, doing acts of service. And she doesn't recognize that. She would just rather I do not do it, and then she will just do it. So this is where this language becomes very difficult, because you're trying to show those people, I love you, and they're not understanding it. And then you've got this gender stereotyping that comes in there, and they say, that's my job. And this is another problem. When acts of service are not carried out, the people who speak this language will take it personally. If somebody says in some way, they'll say, if there's anything that I can do, just let me know. And then that opportunity comes up and then you don't do anything. That person, that this is their love language, they take it very personal. Because why? It's their love language. And then you said to this individual, I will help you in any way. And then you didn't do it. And something in their minds like just registers that and says, they said they were going to do it, and then they didn't do it. And so that's a problem. I would say another problem with this love language is those with this love language can be abused by other people because they will let them just do everything. I've got this little video that I found of this mother cat here, and you can see it. The kittens are just sliding down the slide. She goes down there, hauls them up, and before she can even haul one up, the other one's sliding back down. It's that redundant, we're just going to do this because this is what mom just does. And mom enjoys doing this. She enjoys cleaning up after us. So we'll just leave another plate out that's dirty. And so you've got mom like this mother cat here. She's just doing the next thing. I'm just doing this because they've just asked me to do it. So I'm just, now they're leaving this out. So I'm just doing it. And this is mom's love language, maybe. And so she's trying to tell kids in this, I love you and I'm serving you and I'm doing this. And kids say, yeah, that's just who mom is. She just likes doing this kind of stuff all the time. And we should not just depend on those people for whom serving others is their, I would say, natural knack, because the rest of us just don't want to do it. We want to sit back and be waited on. And we say, they just love doing it. So we're just going to wait. We've got a couple that we're friends with, and they're quite a bit older than us, almost probably, I would say, almost 20 years older. And Cindy, when we have stayed with them, she is the hostess with the mostest. I mean, she is just, she wants to do things all the time for you. She loves to do it, and she loves to have visitors and people stay with them. And so one summer, we actually were in a camp ministry, and we stayed with them for, what was it, like 2 months almost out of the year during this camp ministry, and she would just wait on you hand and foot. And she did that for her kids also. I mean, this is how so much she was, that I was taking a shower at their house, and I didn't lock the door, and all of a sudden I heard the door open, and I'm in the shower, and I thought, okay, that's a little weird, but I thought it was Stacy, and all of a sudden Cindy said, hey, not to bother you, but I put your towel in the dryer and I got it warmed up for you. And if you're just about done at the end of your shower, I have it sitting right here for you. And I was on the other side of the curtain going, okay. She's like, so are you about done? I said, I think so. And she's like, okay, because it's all warmed up here, because Perry always likes to have that warm towel waiting for him out of the shower. And I was like, man, this is really something here, I tell you. That's just who she is. And her love language, because they went through this, is what? Acts of service. So even in that, being somebody who's just visiting their house, she wants to say, I'm honoring you. I like you. I'm warming up a towel and putting it right here for you when you get out of the shower so you don't have a cold towel. Because, you know, it's so, like, you know how terrible that is when you touch a towel and you go, oh my goodness, it's so cold. I wish somebody'd warm my towel up for me. But that was her love language, acts of service. And so in doing that, she's trying to say, I love you. But I will say, and I would say this to them if they were here today, I've even given the family a hard time. Her boys are grown now. But when her boys were younger, they abused this. They abused it with her. Because why? Because she would just do any acts of service. And so they're like, hey, mom, do this for me. And they should be doing it themselves as young men. And she would do that for them. And truly in that, she was trying to say, I love you. But she was somebody that did so much that they abused it in her. And so that's one of the other problems. Going on, it's interesting that all these love languages that we've talked about, I've said over and over again, you can see these examples in Scripture, because God speaks that love language, the acts of service. And you can see all types of examples, and we could spend just a month of Sundays on this. But even the example of Moses leading the Israelites, for 40 years, God showed his love for the people through acts of service. I believe personally that that was part of why that God had them in the desert for 40 years. Part of it was that he was building a relationship with them so they would depend on him, so they would see who he was. And in doing that, he was showing them acts of service. He was showing them love by what he was doing. And so the Israelites slowly came to understand God's love for them through what he had done for them. Now, unfortunately, we know the story. They just really didn't get it. That's why it took 40 years. But it takes time to build a relationship. And so God is the God that shows acts of service. And of course, you can look at the example of Jesus. This is really who Jesus was. Jesus spent his ministry in acts of service, serving other people. You got in Philippians 2:7, it says, emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. You can see in John 6, he fed 5,000 people. Luke 4:18, it says, he healed the people. He sent me to proclaim, to release the captive. And then he says, and recover the sight of the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden. John 3:16 says, he gave his all for us. So Jesus' ministry was that he was going to serve other people. When I first came to the Lord and I was reading through the scriptures in the New Testament, it really struck me that Jesus came to this earth, and if you can just put this in your mind, as God. He was God, he was part of the Trinity, and then he came to this earth, and what did he do for the first 30 years of his life? He worked. He worked every day. He got up and he went to work. He did something. And he did the same job that his earthly father did, Joseph, which was, we will say, carpenter, but actually in the Greek is tectonic. And so that probably leans to more that he was somebody who didn't work with wood, but he worked with stone. So he probably shaped and made, you know, blocks and built things out of stone. But we don't know for sure, but that's what Scripture seems to point at. But the point is that he went to work every day. He had a job. 90% of his life, if you want to say, was him working. And then when he started his public ministry for 3.5 years, what did he do during that time? He still worked. He still ministered to people. God came to this earth as a human being, and he started to work. And probably from a very young age. And that's what Jesus did. He went around and he served people. That was the example that he gave for them. And Jesus has shown his love for us in that way by serving, acts of service. He taught this in his ministry. He showed this by washing the disciples' feet. Mark 10:45 says this. It says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served," Jesus said, "but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many." And so Jesus came and he said, what do I do while I'm here? I don't just kick back and just don't do anything. I work. And what do I do during my ministry? I serve. And he tried to show this to disciples, and the story of the washing of the feet, which you know, is almost comical. Because Jesus, being the guest, the leader at the meal, was not supposed to wash anybody's feet. The guests didn't even wash anybody's feet. They would hire somebody from outside of the guest party to come in to do this nasty job of washing feet. And Jesus tried to make this example and show the disciples, you know, I love you. I'm trying to show this example to you of how you're supposed to treat other people by washing your nasty feet. And they didn't get it. They were arguing about, you know, who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Just right after this. And Jesus is saying, this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to show you that I love you. But when it comes to acts of service and looking at the example of Jesus, it's interesting when we see this. Jesus sets boundaries for his acts of service. One example, Jesus did not heal the sick, the people that needed him, in Mark chapter 1, verses 35 through 38. And if you read a lot of commentaries, they're not going to agree with my opinion, what I'm telling you here. And maybe I'm going to change my opinion on the other side of eternity. But this is what I believe is going on here. Jesus had spent the day before in Capernaum healing people of their sicknesses. He drove out demons. And the people came and they saw these miracles that he was performing. And they wanted to be healed. And nobody can blame him for that. Because when somebody can come in and heal you by touching you, then you're going to tell somebody else, and somebody else shows up and they say, hey, I saw this guy and he was able to come along, touch me, I can give testimony, he healed me. Somebody else says, I need that. So people were accumulating. And Jesus went by himself, and the next morning you've got the disciples, and it says Simon came to him and he says, everyone is looking for you, Jesus. Jesus hadn't showed up yet. And what they're implying in that, everybody's looking for you because why? Because they want you to do something. They want you to heal them. They want you to cast out this demon in a family member, whatever this is. And they're all accumulating. And so the disciples were getting kind of nervous because they're like, whoa, we got people that are showing up. We got to have church. We got to perform. We got to do certain things. And Jesus says to the disciples, he says, we're not going to do that. I'm not going to go down into this group. He says, we're going to move on. And I bet the disciples were thinking, what? We told people that you were going to be coming down and doing some healing and we got all this going on. Oh man, what are we going to tell the people? And what Jesus was really understanding is that he wasn't Mr. Fix-It. That in his humanity, he had these limitations. He was fully God, but he was fully human. He had spent the day doing these things for them. And sometimes it's not always appropriate to alleviate every burden. And so Jesus, in his wisdom, knew that these people were coming mostly just to get something from him. And he said, that's not what I'm just about here. Because I've came to proclaim the kingdom that's coming. Now, they didn't understand what that meant, but he says, I'm here to teach and preach, not just to heal. The heal proves who I am. But that's not the reason I'm here. I'm here to be sharing the gospel, really, is what he's saying. And so they understand one day. I'm not Mr. Fix-It. And I've learned this in ministry because being a pastor and then myself, my love language being acts of service, what do? I will say yes to about anything. I mean, I've had people that have, in our church that have laughed about it and they make jokes about it because, I had one family that said, hey, we're going to be out of town. Could you watch our cat for us? And I said, yes. And then they said, and by the way, when you have it, can you neuter it for us also? Because they know that I neuter my own cats. And I said, yes, I can do that. And so people were laughing in the church. They said, only you would say, yes, I'm going to watch somebody's wild cat and neuter it while I have it. Because I feel like that, it's like, well, I can watch it. And so then we got this cat at our house. And I'm trying to get Stacy involved with helping me neuter this cat. And she's like, why do you commit to this stuff? I don't know. I want to say to these people in the church, to this couple, I care about you. I love you. And so, yes, I will take your wild cat and neuter it for you. And so Jesus says in this, I'm not Mr. Fix-It. I can't just go around fixing everybody's problems because the only thing that they're worried about is me fixing their problems and they will abuse it. They don't want to listen to anything I have to say, really. They just say, hey, come on, Jesus. Yeah, let's get the healing. Let me tell you about the kingdom. I don't have time for the kingdom. I go to I'm Jewish. Well, that's really all great, but just here for the healing. Keep the preaching to yourself. And there's people that I have ran into, so many of them, that they want, and Stacy also, they want us to just fix their problem. Like they think I've got some kind of magic wand that I get out and like, ta-da, and I will fix all their problems for them, ta-da, and then you can go on about your way. He healed me. Everything's fine because I did counseling or spoke with the pastor. And when you're trying to share the truth of the gospel and the power of Jesus, I've had people that have said, whoa. I'm not here to be preached at. I'm not here to hear that churchy stuff. I don't want to hear about Jesus or God or any of that. Just help me out in this. And what they're saying in that is, I don't want to listen to the gospel. I don't want to listen to what's really going to help me. And I believe that these people that Jesus is saying, it's not that I don't care about them. Not that they don't need healed, but you know what? We're moving on because this group of people over here, they may listen to my message. And so he sets limitations. When it comes to scripture and the acts of service, when Christians offer acts of service and love, they're really offering this service to Christ. And the parable that we had read to us today, that's what Jesus is saying. He's talking about those that are going to go into eternity, that's part of it. But a bigger part of this message also is that he's saying, when you do acts of service to strangers, to people you don't even want to, he says, this is really what you're doing. You're doing this for me. And he uses this parable of the king here that we read. And he says, I understand that when you do these things for other people, you're doing them for me. When you're doing it to glorify the Lord, these acts of service, he says, I see that. I recognize that. Because you're showing mercy to other people. So that's why I say, going back to this, these acts of service, they're not just for our spouse, our kids, our parent, that that's their love language. This is for all of us. Because the early church disciples, they followed Jesus' pattern of service. You can see this in Acts 9:36. It says that there is the individual named Tabitha who made tunics and garments for the widows. It says in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha who was always doing good and helping the poor. And they said, this is what Jesus did. This is what he's called us to. This is what Paul has encouraged us to do, that we're to be caring for other people. And scripture also makes the point that services come from freedom, not force, as I mentioned earlier. When Jesus sent out his disciples and he told them to do the right thing with right motives, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons, he says, freely you have received, he says, freely give. That's what he's speaking about in Matthew 10:8. He's saying, you guys have received this. You have seen how that I have been out there and I have been ministering to people. I have been doing things for them. I have done things for you. And you don't seem to get it. That's why Jesus is having to say this to the disciples, I believe. Because he says, I do things for you, and I try to show you acts of service so you can show that to other people. And then you're holding back because you don't want to do this for somebody because why? You don't have the time. You don't feel like doing it. There may be legitimate reasons, like Jesus, we just talked about, is going to move on to another town. But he says, this is what you're called to do. Because you have been given this, and now you need to freely give. And that is the message of the gospel. I don't deserve what I have received, and so I understand that, so I'm going to give to other people. And maybe they don't deserve it, I believe, in my mind. But I'm going to freely give, because I have freely received. It's important to do these acts of service out of love, not obligation. That's what he's really saying here. Because I actually care for this person, not because... okay, because my wife's love language is acts of service, so I'm going to just do this because I got to get it done, because this is what I'm supposed to do. It's because you actually care about this person. It's important to perform these acts of service out of the kindness of your heart. So then, as we kind of wrap this up then, so how do we answer this question? How can you tell if their love tank, so to speak, is not full? How can you tell? Because if this is a difficult love language, how are you going to see that? And I would say if your spouse is consistently and constantly asking you to do something specific, helping with the kids, chores around the house, something with the car, that may be her showing or him that this is their love language. Well, this is just them nagging at me. Well, maybe there are some things that you need to do as far as being involved in that family unit that are your responsibility, but it may be more than that. It may be that they're saying, I need to have my love tank filled, and this is the way that is done by you doing this. The wife who complains that her husband doesn't do things around the house is probably expressing in a negative way that acts of service is her love language. Because I have had men that will say that to me. They'll say, you know what? My wife is just writing me all the time about this and that and saying this. And she wants me to, you know, do the dishes, asking me to do them. Like, what? And I have said, do you think possibly her love language is acts of service? And a lot of times they've never even heard of the love languages. And they'll say, what is that? And then you explain the love language, the acts of service, and they'll say, well, that would make sense after I think about it. And they've been married for, what, 25, 30 years sometimes at that point? And you don't understand that this is their love language. Is he or she, you know, consistently doing things for you or chores in general? It might be that this is their love tank, their love language, and this is how their love tank is filled. So what do you do if you don't speak this love language, that you don't understand it at all? I would say look for signs. If acts of service is one's primary love language, then that one is going to want some type of help. Stacy has realized this. As I mentioned before, that one of the things that she has done when I have worked on vehicles, even though that she doesn't know what in the world she's doing, she just comes out there, especially if it's a big project, and she will just sit there or stand there a lot of times and hand me tools or hold the flashlight if it's at night when things are broke down. That's what she does. And she doesn't say anything. She doesn't give any input. She just is there. And to me, that means a lot. That has always been one of my acts of service, that she doesn't need to be there, but she is. And it's that kind of, I guess you want to call it, moral support during that moment. One of the things that she did last year for me is that since we've moved here, we have never organized the building that we have. And I've told you before, a lot of stuff. I am a hoarder. And I don't do very good with organizing my stuff because there's things that you should give away, things you should throw away, things that you should organize. And so it becomes overwhelming. And then since we've moved, it's all been piled in the building. And so her week off of the post office, because you have to take 1 week off, it's mandatory. She took that week, and what did she do? She organized and cleaned the building. And she helped me do that. So her whole week off, that's what she did. I mean, and it was a week project. And when I got off work, I helped her. And then, you know, it was frustrating for her because I was like, I don't want that there. I don't want to get rid of that. And she's like, oh man, I'm going to kill him. But she still did it in love because she's like, okay, so if you don't want to get rid of this, then we need to find some place to put it, or we need to organize it this way, or whatever that is. And I'm always afraid that she's going to throw away my good stuff. I'm always afraid of that. So I always have to go look in the dumpster to look through it to make sure that all my treasures haven't been thrown away. But I say all that because that is one step above just doing the ordinary. Every day she does the ordinary. And then there's the one step above every so often that you can do, and you can say, this is how I'm going to do this and show you that I love you. That I'm going to actually plan and take my time and energy, and I'm going to do this, whatever this is. We had a lady in our church that her love language was acts of service. And her husband had this, I wouldn't say argument, they had this conversation that had been going on, I think, for 30 years, that he had not put up the two ceiling fans that she had bought 30 years earlier. And so every time that there was something that came up, like a little bit of rub between them, she would say to me, did you know that Bruce has never put up my ceiling fans? I've asked him for the last, I had probably heard that like 300 times from her. And Bruce would sit there and go, I'm going to get around to it. And her love language, acts of service, that was the special thing. It was funny because he said, those ceiling fans aren't even in style anymore. We've had them so long in the box, because it was those ones that are like the fake wood that had like the basket, you know, weaving in the center of them. And so then she went and bought other fans that were more updated fans, and they were still sitting in the box. And I don't know to this day if he's ever got them up. But she really focused on that he had not made that commitment to do that with the fans. And so that might indicate that this is possibly her love language, because the wife who complains about their husband doesn't do anything around the house, probably expressing in a negative way that they are not, you know, showing that they are doing this for love language. So that means that you need to maybe make a list, write out things that you know that you will, that tell your loved one that he or she has, you know, been attended to and been helped. And so maybe you're going to make a list of the top 10 things that I can do to show them that I love them. Because if it isn't your love language, it's very hard to understand this. And there are daily services, and I would say that there's weekly services, and then there are those special occasions that once a year I'm going to clean out the building. And I would also say this when it comes to the love languages, to show thankfulness, acts of service should always be followed by words of affirmation. And I fall short of this because my wife will do things and I understand and I realize in my mind that she's doing them because she's trying to say, I love you, and this is the act of service. And I register that. I realize that in my mind and in my heart, my love tank is filled up. And I realize, oh, she's doing this, and she's trying to say that she loves me. And I feel that. But you know what I don't do? I don't tell her, thank you for doing that, or that you did a good job of it. This week, she went and she sprayed all the weeds on the place. I mean, she went to town on these weeds. And so she went out with the sprayer. She used the lawnmower tractor sprayer. She's used the hand sprayer, everything. And I went around and, you know, I have an inspection of weeds. And I have found one weed that was trying to survive. And that was it, out of billions of weeds that we got. And I said, thank you for doing that. And that she did an awesome job spraying the weeds. So that was her act of service. The other thing that she will do for me is that I am most of the time on a cookie ration. I am a like cookie monster, and I think that my grandkids got it for me because they love cookies also. But she doesn't buy cookies for me because most of the time they're unhealthy. And so she makes cookies, and when she makes cookies, I know that is an act of service. And so I recognize that, and I say back to her, thank you for doing that. Words of affirmation, because somebody has done an act of service. Because you might be the person that that's your love language, and then somebody else does something. And as I said before, they're saying, okay, I realize that that's your love language, so I'm going to do this act of service. But when I do it, you don't even act like you even care. I don't even know if that's your love language. So is vacuuming out the vehicle, is that your love language? Is it making you cookies? Is it vacuuming? Is it doing the... I don't even know what your love language is, because you speak so many different dialects. And so when you vacuum out the car and you say, you know, thank you, I appreciate that, I feel loved when you do that, that person goes, oh, I understand. That's what it is. It's vacuuming out the car. It's doing this thing. We never say anything. The person is giving the acts of service, you know, may wonder if they're even actually speaking that language. So that is why it's so important that we say, I appreciate that. So as we close today, this is the assignment for the next week. Perform one act of service this week for someone who speaks this language. If this is their act of service, then you're going to do this thing. And I'll take it one step even farther. If you want to do something and show somebody that you love them, and it may be somebody that you don't even know what their love language is, and you're filling up their tank, it's doing something to say, I care about you, I love you, I'm doing this for you because this is what Christ has called me to do. Not under obligation, not because this is what the pastor said, this is what they said at the church. I'm doing this because this is showing another human being, I care about you, I love you. And for some people, they've never experienced that in their whole entire life. They really haven't. And as I realize that for some of us, that's hard to understand, and maybe the family that you grew up in. But there's individuals that I know that they're so hardened to anything of the Lord, of Jesus, of the church, of anything, that when somebody in the church has done some type of act of service for this person, and I mentioned last week of just giving the gift to the women that were involved with the nudie club that was for a short time in Cozad, that when these women receive that, and for the first time, maybe somebody is doing an act of service. I know that we talked about them giving the gift baskets, but that melts their heart. I mean, it's so much that I understand that when people have acts of service done that have never had that done before, what's their first reaction most of the time? They are going to fight back. They're like, I don't need your help. I never need anybody's help. You can just keep your help, because they don't know how to even take it. They don't even know how to receive it because they're so hurt and hardened. But I can tell you from personal experience of watching people that when they've had acts of service done to them by people with intentions of ministry, it just seems to kind of melt that, if you want to call it hardness, away. And God uses that because these people that are doing these acts of service, not necessarily doing it for that person, they're doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. In that, though, they're ministering to that person. And so who's one person that we can show this week, this is this act of service I'm doing for you? Close the word of prayer. Lord, I thank you that you are a God of acts of service, that you do for things for us every day that we take for granted, Lord. And I pray that we would recognize that. And Lord, I pray you just give us the wisdom when interacting with somebody that has this love language, that as we've talked here, it can be very frustrating and difficult because we don't think that they're recognizing it, or that we think that they think that we're trying to do their job, or that we're not doing it right. And so, Lord, I pray that we would just be patient with individuals, that this is their love language, and we wouldn't be discouraged. And Lord, I pray that we would understand that this love language is not just for certain people, that it's who they are. It's actually for everyone, as we've talked, that we can be performing this act of service, and it doesn't at times cost anything, but just our time and our energy. Anybody can do acts of service. And so, Lord, I pray that by your Spirit, that we would be attentive to anybody that we can show just this week that that God loves them, that Jesus loves them, by an act of service that we carry out. Lord, we ask that you just give us the wisdom and the strength to do it, because if it's in and of ourselves, it's not easy, and we're not going to see that. And so we pray by your Spirit that you would reveal to us who that we can just show one act of service to. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.